Good day. It's JW with another quick episode of Do Hard Stuff somewhere behind me. We're excited. We've got two fun people with us. We've got Kayvell. How are you this morning? Or afternoon for you?
Afternoon. Yeah. I'm amazing. Thank you, JW.
Yeah. And he's got Kana Health there in the UK.
Yes. Yeah. Group of small practices here in Milton Keynes, between Milton Keynes and Bedford.
And I never get over how much I love hearing that either that English or Scottish accent. Just kind of makes me smile, wishing I could learn to speak like that as well. And then we've got Sonny with us. Sonny works in our business development. He spent some time in the UK and school in Italy. Sonny, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. JW, how are you?
I'm good. And yeah, he's in our Ferrari Zimbabwe office, works with our UK clients. So really, I love to use these platforms primarily to help people understand. You know, I know we can sit here on a call and people are like, well, you had it easy. You know, you must have had a silver spoon in your mouth and you probably had rich parents and, you know, you probably didn't understand how hard it is. You don't get me, but I know that's not my case. I don't think that's your case. And, you know, I hated being poor and I was like, how can I do something different? Right. I want to work through this. But going through it, you realize there's lots of obstacles you have to overcome. I love a lot of those sayings that failure is not final. Failure is not in a person, it's just an event. So, Kayvell, I want to hear your story a little bit because you've grown a lot. And tell us a little bit about how you started and where you're at today.
Yeah, so started, I think I qualified 2009. And after our uni over here, we do like a training year. And had a really good training year. And after that, I had my one and only job interview, was an associate with another dentist in Wellingborough. And I learned a lot, actually, from being an associate there. And the culture there was very much about upskilling the dentist, having courses, having, you know, being able to pretty much bring everything to his team. You know, the chap's name was Restu. And he used to bring courses over, he used to bring different speakers, and we all just used to learn, develop, progress ourselves, and so on. And I think that's a lot of the ethos that's sort of transpired now that I've taken on board. It got to a point, and over here, there's very much almost two very distinct types of going about things. One's working in the NHS, one's working privately. And actually I learned a lot working on the NHS. You know, I learned, to have no pun intended, I cut my teeth, you know, and learn everything, and made lots of mistakes. And I had a really good safety network around us, to be able to develop. And then the cataclysmic event of meeting my wife, or now wife, and we decided that we were going to get married. After dating for a little while.
What year did you marry?
Oh God, now you're asking me. I should have written this down, JW.
Just make, act like you know. March 3rd.
I think it was 2011. Okay. So we got married, or 2012. It was 2012. Yeah. You can imagine I had a virtual kick under the shin there. So it was 2012. she's a dentist, I was a dentist, and it seemed like the done thing to do to go and buy a practice. You know, it was you're both dentists, you should buy a practice, that's what you should do. We started looking, we found a practice, and actually, ironically, we were about to complete on a practice 2 weeks before we got married. So everything was happening at the same time. And we had a member of a sort of team or a team working on the sale, and that person worked in that practice. He was a patient actually in the practice that we were acquiring, and he found out actually that the principal there was looking to move his patients across to another site. So we were about to spend a lot of money buying a practice. And actually the patients weren't going to be there at the end of it. And it
Wow.
just so happened that, you know, he found out this. He sort of called me and said, look, I don't really want to tell you this, but this is what it is. And so we had the sort of difficult decision to say, okay, well, do we carry on and just make it work and see what happens? But we decided to pull out. It was just far too risky. And especially back then, literally nothing, we put all our money just in the due diligence and the solicitor's fees and everything else. So we lost, and we lost quite considerably, in and around there. And we learned a sort of valuable lesson. But, you know, it actually transpires that I became friends with the guy after a number of years, and I don't hold grudges, you know. And actually, I think it all happens, you know. Firm believer, everything happens for a reason.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't have got what we got now without, you know, if we had bought that practice. So it's just one of those things. Then 2015, we then bought, or we went in for another practice. It took us a few years to sort of recover from there. And yeah, 2015, we went in for another practice, and we were there. We found the practice that we love, put an offer in, and it got rejected. So
Wow.
we were there, and we were sort of heartbroken from it. And we went on holiday, and I ended up, you know, still, you know, it plays on your mind, you know, that, oh, you know, it felt like it was it, you know, everything was aligned. And I ended up reaching out to the agent, actually, and no, to the seller, and just saying, look, we have, you know, we really want to love the practice. If there's anything, any opportunities that actually happen, and, you know, if there's anything that's going wrong with the sale, then just let us know. And, you know, I'd love to be able to have the opportunity to do it. And it so happened that they were just in a point where the people that they had chosen couldn't afford to purchase the practice. So they gave us the sort of green light. I called, I was, I think, in Dubai or Abu Dhabi at the time, and I called my bank manager saying, look, you need to send a letter saying I'm good for the money.
Can't lose this one.
And we're going to have it. And then actually really quickly, that's how we got our first practice. So again, it's one of those weird things, right? It's luck, and it just, you know, it just happened to contact them at the time where it wasn't really working, and so on. But yeah, ended up working out really.
So for people that are in the US listening to this as well, explain a little bit the difference in NHS and private practice as well. I think it's important to understand the difference because they're distinctly different.
Yeah, so NHS wise, you have a number of, it's called UDAs, units of dental activity. And so a practice will have a contract for X amounts of UDAs, and generally then it gets distributed towards the dentist there. And you get different numbers of UDAs for different activities you provide. So you get one UDA for a checkup, three UDAs for filling and root canal treatment, for example, something that doesn't involve a lab, and then 12 UDAs for crowns and dentures and so on. So yeah, generally how it tends to work, and there's different ways that practice is working. But if I was an associate there, I might have 5,000 UDAs to do in a year, and I'll get paid for those 5,000 UDAs as I'm doing them, or spread out over the 12 months. And that's generally how it works. Those UDAs are really there to cover, in theory, cover everything, but mainly useful, cover whatever's clinically necessary, and what's needed to help that patient, stabilize that patient, and you know, carry on sort of preventative measures. It doesn't cover any cosmetic work, implants, and more complex things.
Now, are you 100% private now?
We're across our group, we're 92% private. So we
Okay.
have a couple of practices that have a small sort of NHS component.
How many practices do you have now?
So we've got five. Five,
Five.
yeah.
Okay. So the majority is private practice then.
So yeah, most of them are private. Even if they're not private, the NHS amount is quite small. And then privately, Private entry tends to be patients pay as you go, you know, so or there's a capitation element, so you're paying a monthly fee and it covers your private treatment going on there. So yeah.
So you've already kind of pointed out a couple of things that were interesting. I was noting, the first practice was really a disaster, right? I mean, it sounds like that didn't go the way you planned it anyway. How would you, or your first opportunity there, how would you, what did you learn from that had you not learned, you might not be where you're at today, let's say.
Yeah, so I think we learned. What did we learn? I think we learned that, I guess in hindsight, that things happen for a reason, for sure. You know, I think also, I mean, to be perfectly honest, you rack your brains, don't you? What could we have done differently during that? What could we have found out? But to be honest, I don't really think we could have. Maybe we could have sort of scouted any planning permissions for practices and these sort of things in a local area, but realistically, I think we do, you know, I think the solicitors did a good job. Everybody figured out what we were doing. I think, yeah, I mean, there's not much I feel like we could have done necessarily different. And actually, it was just good fortune that we found out when we did. I think that's the key aspect. I think going forward into ownership, when we bought the practice that we did, it was a big practice. Eight, well, seven surgeries at that point. We were very sort of green-eyed, bushy-tailed, and very slow to do anything, you know. So the dentists that were there were very much approaching retirement age, and they sort of run their course, and they wanted to have a nice sort of easy last few years of dentistry. Really conscientious dentists, love their patients. Patients love them for a long, long time. And then there's me that's been wanting to buy a practice for 5 years. I bought a CBCT machine before we even bought the practice, ready to install in this practice because I was beginning to dental implants, and I felt like that was my pathway. And CBCTs weren't really big at that point. There's me like really wanting to push forward, and these guys are like, "What the hell is this guy doing?" I just want to do what I've done before. And what I used to do was just be a bit of a nomad. So any surgeries that were free, I just move into those surgeries, work a little bit, move into another surgery the next day, and so on, and just let them crack on. But it got to a point where, you know, if we really wanted to progress, then we needed to have those conversations with these guys saying, right, do you want to do the same things? I used to try and get speakers in, like how I was taught, speakers in to progress and upskill people. And, you know, bless them, they weren't bothered. You know, they've done their dentistry. They wanted to just do what they were doing and then retire. But that wasn't our ethos. You know, that wasn't what got us kicking. We wanted to progress our dentists, progress our teams, and so on. So I think that's a bit we learned again with hindsight is, you know, I feel especially now we're a lot quicker to implement our ethos, our way of going about things. We're quick on positivity. We're massive on positivity, I guess, in the Carnot Health Group. We've spent the last 12 months, 18 months sort of developing different initiatives to really spread positivity across the group. So we've got the Carnot Cup. So that our area manager will rock up with a Harry Potter sorting hat at each of the practices at the start of the year, puts everybody into houses, and then they win points throughout the year based on positivity. So if they've done something to support one another, to a really great patient experience, and then the marketing manager will rock up with a prize wheel and they'll choose a little prize, you know, at the end of a quarter. And it's purely not KPI driven. You know, so it's not profitability, it's literally just do good things for good people, and enjoy it, you know. And then at the end of the year we have our awards where there's a big sort of Harry Potter style cup, and they win that. And you know,
And
like it's
you had that recently, right? I think I saw it on LinkedIn. It was fairly recent.
We had awards in December, so yeah, a couple of months,
Okay.
more a month ago now, yeah, or November, sorry, so yeah, a couple of months ago now. So it's a good crack. You know, I think everybody works really hard, and it's important to sort of work hard and play hard.
Well, but I think there's something to your credit too, and at least your leadership credit. You know, I like the way you said it, positivity, because I think culture has been this word that's just used too often, right? Oh, we have a great culture. Oh, working on our culture. Oh, we're going to do this with culture. And a lot of times I think that doesn't mean a lot to anybody. And I like the way you said positivity, because that brings a different mindset than if you just say creating this positive culture as well. And so, you know, I think it makes it in to have a different light as well. And I think that's what makes it, you know, super important the way you position that as well. But, you know, as we talk through what makes things happen, what makes it work, I still go back to every failure that I've had, and I've had bunches of them. You know, people will say, oh, I see these businesses you do, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't tell you about all the ones that failed, because that's way more than the ones that were successful. So for me, it's learning, how do you take that positivity approach? How do you develop that within your teams? Because something I didn't learn my first probably 20 years in business was that it was really my people on our teams that make the success of your organization, not me. And once you quit focusing in on their input and really encouraging them, paying them well, incentivizing them, encouraging them, helping them to be better leaders. You know, one of my favorite guys, Craig Groeschel, talks a lot about, if you want to be a great leader, make more leaders. You know, help people to become leaders. But I know, Sonny, you had a question a second ago. What was that?
Yes, it's definitely. Naturally, when someone wants to start a business, they really focus on the KPI aspect and trying to get drilling results. So I really wanted to know, what really made you choose the a positivity approach, because running a business, your whole focus is trying to make money. So, choosing a more positive approach and trying to make sure that, the happiness of your staff is more important than anything else. What really made you take that path?
Yeah, to be honest, I think we're both Trina and I are those sort of people anyway. So it sort of starts off there. But I think there, especially I think soon after COVID, there was a lot of people were really questioning, do they want these positions? Do they want these roles? Do they want these jobs? Do they want these hours? Do they want all of these things? And we had to really sit back and think, well, why do you want to work for us? Yes, we can pay. And realistically, if people are moving between dental practices, there might be a 25p, 50p sort of differential. And generally, that's not enough to really sway somebody. So actually, it's do I want to stay? Because it's the culture, it's a fun place to work, And yeah, dentistry is stressful. You have rubbish days, and you have difficult days. But if you've got the people around you that are supportive, if let's say at the end of the day, one dentist is running late, but everybody waits around and cleans up together at the end of that day, it takes 5 minutes and not half an hour. And everybody in that whole group feels good. I feel good that I'm helping. The person who's being helped feels good that they're being helped. Do you know what I mean? Like it's so we had to think, well, actually, if you want to work for us, what makes us a place that you want to work to? And Trina and I, and we haven't actually added this to our sort of core values, but we want to be the place that people want to come to work. That's actually one of our really big things that we'll sit at every meeting that her and I have and say, well, I'll be that place. And we're not, I wouldn't say that we're 100% there by any stretch. I'd say we're probably only 50% there. But I think if you've got the right approach and you're aiming for that, then you'll get there. And even if you're 80, 90% there, you'll get there. And you've got to just think of them different reasons that people want to work for you. So is it can we get family involved? Should we have a family day and get people getting? So we had an Olympics, in the summertime. I just stepped on the microphone. I didn't partake. I think I probably would have collapsed. But just getting people involved and doing something fun, and it was probably the simplest event that we did, but it got people involved, and it got, and we did like egg and spoon races and sack races, and it wasn't like a really strict 100 meter relay or anything like that. So I think we really had to think, why would people want to work with us? And that's when we sort of changed. And then we had to be strong enough to, if people weren't on that journey with us, we have to be able to approach them and say, well, one, can we change that philosophy? And if we can't, then it doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means we're not aligned, and maybe you need to have a position elsewhere. And we then have to build that team, that people that want to be there, want to be positive, want to get into that culture. And people that have been in dentistry for a long time, this is novel for them, it's new. So, they could, if they don't like the fluffy stuff, then they probably won't want to be part of our organization, because we're really big on that. So I hope that answers your question, Sonny.
No,
Yeah, I would.
it definitely does. Yeah,
Yeah,
because it's just
and I
such a
would.
different approach.
Yeah, I would comment too, though, and you're being humble, because it starts at the top, right? And you can't say, hey, go implement this fun stuff, and you guys have fun and be positive. You mentioned about everybody joining in to clean up at the end of the day. If you or your wife step in there and go, hey, what we ought to do is everybody get together, and everybody's going to clean up together, and we're going to make it, and you guys get going, I'm heading on home, and you walk out the door and tell everybody to clean up together, that doesn't have a great effect, right? They're like, well, where's he going? But you have to learn to get down and understand that, I'm real big, and when I go to our office there in Harare as an example, I've got a couple of people that have been there for 6, 7 years, and one of them is a guy that really takes care of you. He cleans the office. He's in charge of one of the floors, and I mean, he's cleaning the bathrooms and cleaning the floors. He's vacuuming, and but he does it with a smile. He loves his job, and so I'm always looking for him. And I'm like, hey, how you doing, man? What can I help you with? And I think you have to remember that all of everybody is important to how your organization operates. It's not just your upper leadership. So I know for a fact, I don't even have to guess, that you and your wife are probably the first ones to jump in too.
Yeah, but I think we're not, so we don't work clinically anymore. And it's been probably 2.5 years since we have. So we're generally not working within the practices, although we will, Srinar especially will go to the practices and see. So it's exactly what you said, JW. It's then the leaders. So are our senior managers, are our actual managers on site, system managers, the main people in the practice, head of
That's
reception,
right.
are they leading that culture? Because if they're not, it'll stop, fully stop. Around it. So now I think that's a growing pain where you have to make sure that that culture is feeding through. And if there's one single block in that chain, then you've lost it for, you've lost it basically. So you have to rebuild it. And I think that's one thing I guess we've learned over time is, we have to have that senior management team that are better than us. Not listening to us, better than us in each aspect.
Well, as Collins writes in his book, From Good to Great, he talks about not only getting the right people, but it's getting the right people in the right seat. And so you obviously have to hire for the skill set, but then you better hire the right person for that position as well. So yeah, that's something I learned. I failed in hiring the wrong people, maybe because they were cheaper, weren't going to cost me as much, or maybe they were just a nice person. And then you realize, what did I hire that person to run the accounting department? He doesn't even really know accounting, and it's, you just go, well, that was a big failure. And so I think you have to hire for skill set, but then you need to make sure that it's a good fit too. That's super important. Well, you've got five practices, so what's on the horizon? What I mean, maybe share, what is 2024? We're here at the beginning of 2024. What does that look like? And then what is your long-term vision for kind of health too?
Yeah, so I mean, we've never been the sort of people that we want to, 10 practices, 20 practices, 50. A number's not really been the thing. We want to grow until we don't enjoy it anymore, quite simply.
Yeah.
And so we've got a couple of practices that are in the pipeline as we're going. So we're going to be growing those practices, and then we'll integrate them, transition them, and have a bit of fun getting them carnified. And then and we have a training academy as well, so teaching academy. So we do postgraduate diplomas for dentists. So the current ones in aesthetic and restorative dentistry, and we really want to grow that. But we also then our plan for our academy was to diversify it to the wider team. So have nurses being trained, TCOs being trained, or treatment coordinators being trained, and practice managers, give a marketing, a business coach, all these sort of things. So we've got the facility. We only use it really for one day a month for the current academy. It sort of doubles up as our headquarters, but we really want to grow that aspect of it. And like I said, just keep having fun with it, to be honest. We want to grow, we will grow. And I think probably up until, we can't, I think we like having the control also in the business. So, I think we would struggle to relinquish control. So I think whilst being able to do that with normal lending and these sort of things, I think that's where this year is gonna head, and still stabilize, still grow the positivity, think of new initiatives. So that's 2024, hopefully.
Well, it's interesting. I've got a lot of friends who started DSOs here in the US, and they grew, and then they sold them out to private equity. And a common thing I hear is, man, I wish I wouldn't have given up control, because now they find themselves in a minority ownership role. And they sometimes not, sometimes the these PE groups just let them run it how they've been running it. But a lot of times they come in and say, okay, well, we're going to change up this, and like, whoa, wait a minute, don't do all that. So yeah, I think being able to be in control of that destiny is really important as well.
And I think that's, I mean, things change. I don't think when we took over our first practice, we didn't ever envision having another one, let alone going to this. So I think things do change as you go along. But I think, the biggest thing when we're in a box at the end of, everything is we've left something there. We've changed dentistry just a little bit. We're not gonna, it won't be radical, but we'll be remembered favorably. We've done things in the right way. We were the place that people wanted to come and work. I think that's, I think that's what we want to hold on to be honest. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's a smart thing. I've been in the dental industry for 36 years or something, and at 50 years old, I pivoted to now having a company that's in Costa Rica and Africa. And prior to that, I had never been to Africa, and I don't even know if I could have spotted Zimbabwe on the map. So, I think God always has a plan for you, and sometimes you got to just sit back and, as I say, some people, I've heard people say, well, oh, you were lucky, or oh, you did this. I said, no, I was walking through doors. A door would open up and I wasn't afraid to walk through it. And I think that's part of being an entrepreneur, a business owner, a leader, a manager, is not being afraid to walk through a door that you're not sure what's behind it. And if you're willing to do that, could go wrong, right? But you may just learn what you needed to learn for that next door that opens. And so, you talk about, you're exactly right. I mean, when you first opened this practice, you and your wife, you're like, okay, we're going to run this practice, we'll grow it, we'll raise kids, have a good living, and we'll be good, right? And then here you are at five practices. What, not very long in the tooth there in terms of time. And now you're continuing to grow, but you're growing because you got a great culture and you got the positivity working as well. So that's exciting. Where'd the name come from, Kind of Health?
I'd love to have something really remarkable, but to be honest, it's the first two letters of my name and the last two of my wife's name.
Well, I think that's actually a good, that's actually, yeah, you always want to hear somebody says, well, I was on this remote island in the middle of the Caribbean, and I got stranded there, and I saw this vision of Kind of Health, and I went with it. Yeah, actually, that's actually a better story though. Just first, and what is your wife's name? What's her first name?
It's Shrina, Shrina. So,
Okay, so the last part of hers, front part of yours, got it.
if it was the first two letters of hers, it would have just been cash. And so I think it would have put across the right message. I think they were respectful partner.
We're Cash Hill with a K, but it's with a K.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's actually really funny. Yeah. The acronyms that don't work, right? That would be one of them that probably not a good idea unless you're in the pawn shop business or something. Yeah, that's quite different. Well, hey, this has been a lot of fun. I love doing these. And you're the first one I've done that's been in the UK. And it's funny, a lot of the things I meant to say earlier, you said 20p, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that means pence. A lot of people probably thought that meant percentage. I'm like, oh, not 20%. He meant 20, which is like 20 cents. And yeah. So, yeah, it's from that. And you said the word ruck up and I got cracked up. I was like, all right, I know these cheeky and cue and all these words that because we're in Zimbabwe, I say a lot of these words. My wife will say that. I'll say, yeah, that's a long cue. She goes, what? I'm like, oh, the line's real long. She's like, you're using Q now. I'm like, yeah, no, sorry about that.
And well, thank you so much for having me as well. I really, really appreciate it. Yeah, and likewise, this is the first podcast I've done, you know, across the pond, or well, across lots of ponds, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, two ponds there. Yeah, that's right.
So, I really appreciate you getting me on here. And yeah, really, really nice to be a part of it.
Yeah, and we met we met at the Dental Forum event, which was down in Spain, just at one of the networking events they do, and we're both looking to go back this year again. And so, yeah, I think it's again walking through doors. I really shouldn't have been going to the dental. We kind of scheduled that Dental Forum event probably within 30 days. We found out there was an opening. We said, "Oh, let's go," you know. And so, and now we've got handful of clients in the UK, and it's been a lot of fun. And the magic of technology, I mean, here we are. I'm actually in Costa Rica right now. You're in the UK, and Sonny is in Zimbabwe. So we just, there's a big triangle there, right? So it's pretty massive.
It is amazing. Yeah, we'll try and have more and more exotic locations as we do this again, I think, Jason. See how far we can go and see if it still works. Yeah.
Who else could we get in this call? Find somebody who could be in Hong Kong, and we're going to start spreading out. So, well, listen, thanks for everybody who's joined. We have fun with these, and it is about learning to fight through those obstacles and don't get discouraged. And whether that's in your marriage or friendships or business and life, you know, you got to work through it all. So, Kaval, thanks for joining us. Sonny, thanks for joining us. And hope everybody has a fantastic week.
Thank you very much.